discourse on the six sixes, Chataka Sutta. This discourse appears in middle and say 148 discourse. Thus have I heard at one time the Lord was staying in Savatthi in the Jetaguru in Anathapindika's monastery. While he was there, the Lord addressed the monks, saying, "Monks, revered one." These monks answered the Lord in assent. The Lord spoke thus, "I will teach you Dhamma, monks, lovely in the beginning, lovely in the middle, lovely at the ending. With the spirit and the letter, I will proclaim to you the Brahma pairing, utterly complete, quite purified. That is to say, the six sixes. Listen to it, attend carefully, and I will speak." Yes, revered sir.
These monks. Is it a Brahma pairing?
Brahma Viharin is that, you know, the becoming a bhikkhu or going through the, you know, the mental development. Oh. Yeah, that is called Brahma Viharin. Six internal sense fields are to be understood. Six external sense fields are to be understood. Six classes of consciousness are to be understood. Six classes of sensory impingement are to be understood. Six classes of feeling are to be understood. Six classes of craving are to be understood. So here we have this eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, that base. And then there are these external six elements. And then the consciousness that arises depending on those. And then the contact, that is the meeting of the eye, the form and the eye consciousness. And then the feeling that arises depending on the contact. And then the craving that arises depending on the feeling. So those are to be understood. So when Buddha said that are to be understood, it is in the big sense, not in the simple sense. It has a greater meaning on those things. What is it? When it is said, six internal sense fields are to be understood, in reference to what is it said? It is in reference to sense field of eye, the sense field of ear, the sense field of nose, the sense field of tongue, the sense field of body, the sense field of mind. When it is said, six internal sense fields are to be understood, it is said in reference to this. This is the first six. So we talk about the eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, those fields. When it is said, six external sense fields are to be understood, in reference to what it is said. It is in reference to the sense field of material shapes, that is form, roop, the sense field of sound, the sense field of smells, sense field of taste, sense field of touches, sense field of mental states. When it is said, six external sense fields are to be understood, it is said in reference to this. This is the second six. So you can see there are 12.
So roop is the what the eye sees of the material form and also the sounds from the material form, or
we have the eye and the form, so right. Depending on that one, the eye consciousness is arising, and the eye is ear and the sound, so depending on that one, the ear consciousness arises. Their ranges are different. Eye cannot perceive what ear is perceiving.
Right.
They have distinct ranges.
So when you speak of form, if I close my eyes, I can feel something, and I feel, in English I would say it has a form, but it's not what you mean here. Form is something you see with your eye.
When you see the form, you see some sort of a form. It is some sort of a construction from your eye. Okay, it is not actually, you don't see the actual thing, you're actually constructing. That's what Buddha is heading in this discourse. It is that, you see, if you get a flower, if you have two people looking at it, one would say, I love it, right? The other one says, I don't like it. So if there was a quality called that beauty in that flower itself, then that the second person can't say that I don't like it. Right?
If both deep and the blind, they both feel the sound.
No. Let's not look at that way.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So you are looking at that actually whatever thing you see from your eye, but that whatever thing you see is actually constructed by yourself, and you perceive it in different way. So that's why the two people are saying that I like it, I don't like it, sort of scenario. With our own wrong perceptions. So are to be understood is meaning that the impermanent nature, how it arising, how it is passing away. The arising phenomenon and passing away phenomena has to be understood regarding that material form. Material form is just material form. We are not actually sort of talking about, looking at the atoms or something like that one. So Buddha is normally going into level of these four great elements. The element of extension, element of heat, element of motion, and element of cohesion. That's the level Buddha is going. Buddha is not going below that. And there isn't anything going to go below that. And unlike in chemistry, that one time we say 109 elements, and then we say, well, we got some more, and then we say some more sort of scenario.
So you go to that level because of the craving anyway,
Basically, there was a craving that I will be such and such. I discover this sort of thing. And mainly because of the ignorance, not knowing what it is exactly. And then we go and analyzing it further and further, thinking there is something for me in it. So now, at the moment when you see something, you take it at whatever thing you see, but later on you can actually see what you see is not what actually it is presented. It is just as an illusion.
So then when you say that the word construction, it applies to each and everything again.
It is. Everything.
For all six senses, it applies to all.
Yeah. It's a mere construction, mere illusion by the mind. We used to see it, we used to perceive it that way, and we perceive certain things as pleasure, but what is there is actually displeasure, a suffering. And
so when I say, like, if I see something and if I think that's pretty, and if another person says, no, that's not pretty, we may be seeing two different things.
Both constructed two different things. That object actually led you to construct whatever thing you constructed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, before we construct, there was a sense object, there was a sense field, and there was a contact. So
yes,
all that is before the construction.
It is. There was three things. Three things got to meet. Yeah.
That means actually because the thing is not seen as it is.
Exactly.
Because
not only that, I believe because our former perceptions are also part of that. For example, if somebody sees some object and it is different to the other person, and what we construct here is different to what he constructs, and the difference is because the perception, we differences in perception we both have.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it is our former karma.
Yeah.
And that is what actually yesterday I realized this one after talking to you. Because of that, those three things, and that was really nice. And if you have time, tell him, and that's a great thing to learn.
Yeah. Okay, so when it is said six classes of consciousness are to be understood in reference to what is it said, it is in reference to the visual consciousness that arises because of eye, material shapes, the auditory consciousness that arises because of the ear and sound, the olfactory consciousness that arises because of nose and smell, the gustatory consciousness that arises because of tongue and taste, the bodily consciousness that arises because of body and touches, the mental consciousness that arises because of mind and mental states. When it is said six classes of consciousness are to be understood, it is said in reference to this. So we have the eye and the form. So depending on the two, eye consciousness arises. Ear and the sound, ear consciousness arises. It's like this fire, that if you actually burn a fire with the cow dung, you could call it cow dung fire, right? And if you burn it with grasses, then you say grass fire. So it's just a terminology, name. For that particular thing, you say eye consciousness, ear consciousness, just a sort of a consciousness.
Is it also a construction?
It is. It is a sort of a construction depending on your the qualities and things. That this one is sort of bit innocent. You are not making any karma at that level. You just see it, and but then it leads to this mental one, mental contact and all the other things. So that's where the problem starting. And Yeah, if you actually see certain thing, a child would see it certain way and an adult would see that on a different way. When it is said, six classes of sense impingement are to be understood in reference to what is it said? It is in reference to the visual consciousness that arises because of the eye and material shape. The meeting of these, meeting of the three is sensory impingement. So Buddha is given what is the contact, what it means.
What is this impingement here?
Impingement is whatever thing that arises in the eye, you know, there was that some sort of contact because of the English word they were actually using over there.
What is the Pali word for
it? Pali word is that chakkuncha paticca rupeju upajya chakku vinyana thinnan sangati pasu.
Passo,
contact.
Contact.
Mm. So they use this the word sensory impingement because that there should be a sense over here, and then there is something happening to that sense. You know, there was some sort of impingement from the other one. So.
So other people translated the same sutta with a different English.
Different, right? Yes. They just put contact. Mm. Many people use contact, but this is the Pali Text Society translation. They use the impingement.
So did the Pali Text Society do all their work 100 years ago, or they updated them?
Well, some of them a little bit revised, some not. It's just 100 years ago. There's certain translations still there as it is. Bhikkhu Gnanamoli, I think, has sort of modified a little bit here and there. So certain ones has left that, but that wording is quite good as an impingement, you know.
I think it makes, to me, it makes more sense than the contact.
Contact, yes, yes.
Well, to me it makes sense that the same word is translated to this English word or that English word, and the truth is somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. So similarly, the auditory consciousness that arises because of the ear and sound, the meeting of the three, is sensory impingement. And again, olfactory, so all the other bases, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and the mind. So there are this meeting of the three is called contact. Well, when we say contact or the impingement, try to remember this, that it is actually your mind is sending into you into that contact. Having seen some sort of beautiful form, let's say a beautiful person coming in front of you, passing by, there is a contact. I, form, I consciousness, meeting of the three, is contact. And that person is leaving, but your mind still going back to what? Is it going back to the person or to the I? It is going back to the contact.
So when you say mind, this is the sixth sense base.
Yes.
It's the same word, same
yes,
mind.
Same way, yes. It is going sending back to the contact that has arisen out of the three, you know, the eye and the form and the eye consciousness, meeting of the three, that meeting position, it is going back.
So do you have added a value to that?
That's right. That's called Nama Rupa.
Mm.
Nama Rupa. So you are actually adding that for the material thing, you have given other mental content, a value out of it.
So the sense contact, I saw a person, the sense contact is then the mind object that my mind is making contact with?
Your first encounter is that I and the form and the I consciousness, so meeting of the three is the contact, okay? Now when this contact occurs, you now perceive this, there is your the intentions, sensual intentions or whatever intentions, we call sankappa in Pali, that come to arise. Because of these intentions, there is this contact that is called mental contact that come to arise. So having perceived something, there is some intention or sankappa, and because of that one, there is this mental intention. So mind now take it over. So mind is the sort of a consumer of whatever the eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and that one actually take. So now when I say it's going back to the contact, it's going back to that mind contact position. Not that person, seeing the person. That this second contact was based on the first contact you had. That was innocent, sort of innocent thing that eye, ear, nose, tongue, body produces. So
the first one is innocent.
First one is innocent.
Yeah, the second one, because you have seen some characteristics. So that's why you, if it is beautiful, so you just look back.
Yes, yeah. So I'll tell you what it is, that what I told him as well. It's called appropriation of external objects. So you see certain objects. The word, English word appropriation, is that you use that particular thing exclusively for yourself, often without a permission from the owner. That's what appropriation means. Appropriation of external object means that you see certain person, you sort of invade that person's privacy as well. That person has not given you to look at that this part of the body, certain parts of the body, but one would actually use that term. So it's that's called appropriation of external object. So you see somebody, you see certain parts of that one, and so this particular one lead to something called mind making. You are taking that one as mind. By the time you see something, I will explain that one later on why you are taking as mine. And having taken that as mine, you get the pleasure, sukhasanya. Pleasure is now constructed from your mind because you have taken that one as mine. If it is mine, I'm happy, right? The happiness led to making myself before. Now I am actually looking at it. Now it becomes, I feel happy. Pleasure arises. Because of the pleasure, mind now going back to the contact. That whatever thing led to this thing. What was that contact? That is the meeting of the three before. Meeting of that person. So you are looped back to the same thing. That's why I'm saying, if you see a good, beautiful person in front of you, Buddha normally take a 16-year-old girl, not too tall, not too short, not too dark, not too white, not too fat, not too thin. That's why how Buddha described it. And having seen that person, Buddha was asking, isn't that the pleasure arising because of the color of that person? So it's the color that we actually absorb into our mind first. We didn't even know that one. I didn't know that one until I actually read that discourse. So there was this contact. Because of the contact, now I have taken that one as mine. So I'm happy, pleasurable, because that I have constructed it before. That's why it is. Okay. I had some idea what is the beauty. I had some idea perceived before and constructed in myself before. And this such and such a person, such and such a color is the one that's most beautiful. So as soon as it matches whatever thing I constructed before, I'm really happy. See that illusion? Whatever thing I constructed before, I reconstruct.
So when you say constructed before, that's coming from the
previous.
All those constructions that have been happening over sansara, isn't it? Not
right.
This life.
Yes. All the life.
Okay.
Yeah. Whatever thing you hold, yeah, it is coming up like a flash. And that's matching with this one.
Mm-hmm.
And since this matching, I am so happy. So, this particular object led to that one. It is not the object that the contact that I had.
Mm-hmm.
Meeting of the eye, the form and the contact. So my mind is going back to that contact. That person may be coughing, you know, by this object that you construct. Does not cough. That person die, that this one does not die. So this is the permanent thing we are constructing. It is mine, so therefore it does not die. So this is very, very heavy. It's actually this paper explains how it is happening in that way.
It is, I think, that what we create constructed is also we are putting into the bag we had previous, and then we carry forward.
That's what the different perceptions are there for, because the same thing is seen in different ways by different people because of that samsaric practice.
Yes.
Yeah. But so I think that this what is created is not permanent, but like long lasting.
Well, you can create any time you want, right? It is impermanent. But since you can create it any time you want, as much as you please, you feel like it is permanent. So you have a belief or view that this is, it is something called idam satchami nivesakayam. So that is, this is the truth. It is, we are going up to that level. This is the truth.
But we're wrong when we believe that. We are wrong. Ignorance.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that's what the avijja, ignorance means. That led to avijja, the ignorance. Yeah.
It has two different things, I believe. The first thing is the impermanent nature in terms of decaying. For example, if we have yonso manasikara, that we are looking at, right, this is made out of appropriate elements and this is something to decay or something like that. But the thing is, what I realized is there was, not only that, there is some other part as well, because for example the object we saw and it passed me, but still I am holding that, but not knowing that it has gone.
That's right. Yeah,
that is also part of...
You sort of know that it is gone, but that view part means that I'm tolerating it. That's what it is. You seem tolerating. You know that there is a perversion, that when you actually see that particular person, there is this, there are three things happening. First, you get the perception that the pleasure in suffering, you perceive it as pleasurable, not as suffering, but a reality is suffering, okay? That person is suffering, that contact, everything is suffering over there, but you do not realize. So with the first one, the pleasure, that is a perception. And having got that perception, you have a thought, a consciousness, a thought occur at that time, understanding that object in a certain wrong way. What the wrong way? That it is pleasurable. And then there is something called ditti or view. At the view level, you tolerate it. You tolerate your thought, your perception, everything you tolerate. I actually normally take this one example, that durian, that sort of thing people are eating. I don't know is the English word for durian?
Durian, it is durian.
Durian, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Durian is very smelly, isn't it?
Yeah.
Some people don't like it at all. So other people also actually, that is so. That person who is actually happy to eat it, also he actually get that smell, bad smell. But he tolerated it. Because out of the craving, because his mind is corrupted at that time, he tolerated it. Even this rice that you cook, you know, at home, if you are meditating somewhere, and you are in a concentration, you can see how smelly it is. Very smell. You can't, you know, sort of sometimes can't tolerate in that level as well. So for divine beings, this food we are eating is disgusting. And even for yourself, if you are not hungry and you are meditating, you can see what disgusting thing. So we used to tolerate these things.
But this body is made out of this food.
Yes. And we think that there's no choice rice, then I'm happy, I won't eat, sort of thing. You know, person may be running from some place to eat, dropping the meditation, not doing the meditation. So that is the tolerating level. It's called a view. When it comes to the view level, where you are done with it, you go with it. There's no further action So Buddha is actually teaching us these four foundations of mindfulness to get out of those perversions. You know, that the perception, the thought and the view all gone with the four foundations of mindfulness meditation. So, when it is said six classes of consciousness, classes of feeling are to be understood, in reference to what it is said, it is in reference to the visual consciousness that arises because of the eye and material shape. The meeting of the three is sensory impingement. Conditioned by sensory impingement is feeling. So, we get the eye and the form, So eye consciousness arises, meaning of the three is called contact. Depending on the contact, feeling arises. So Buddha is adding up little by little out because of the contact, there is feeling. If there is no contact, there is no feeling. See, that one itself is a big thing. Since there is a contact, whatever feeling you get because of the contact, with the cessation of contact, the cessation of the feeling.
The cessation of mental contact also, otherwise...
It's the mental contact, yeah. So it's again, that feeling is also constructed. Construction, constructed by our form, habitual tendency, the volitional formation, it constructs this one. And so, that is this Vedana or feeling. And when it is said, six classes of craving are to be understood in reference to what is it said. It is in reference to the visual consciousness that arises because of the eye and material shape. The meeting of the three is sensory impingement. Conditioned by sensory impingement is feeling. Conditioned by feeling is craving. So similarly, auditory consciousness. So you can see the craving arises because of the feeling. If there is no feeling, there won't be any craving. If anyone should say, I is self, that is not fitting. For the arising of I is to be seen, and its decay, since its arising and decay are to be seen, one would thus be brought to the stage of saying, self arises in me and passes away. Therefore, if anyone should say, I is self, that is not fitting. In this way, I is not self. So now Buddha is eliminating the self will one by one. So, do you think that people actually regard that I as self? I have heard, seen such people. We all do, but we don't sometimes express. When you see a beautiful object, well, I will say first the person that who expressed that one. He said that his daughter, for example, that he says it is my eye. Okay, have you seen that these people expressing that to my daughter?
Yeah, we say to kids, the kids
my eye, yeah. Right? See, that means they regard I as the self, without knowing. Buddha knows that. We do. It's that we attach to that one that much, that self is something to do with the craving. Having perceived things before, having seen something before, that the contact is ignorant contact. Because of the ignorant contact, that is meaning of the three, there is this feeling arises. And one would be have craving to that feeling, therefore that self is arising. So that kid, for example, you know, having perceived him before and before, therefore a mother, you know, coming from the stomach, so mother regards that as mine completely. So there is this craving. Until the kids turn the other way around and say, oh, you know, something miserable to the mother or something like that, then they actually realize, oh, you see that we normally think that, you know, kids are mine, you know, and this sort of thing. But what about the kids that we used to have before, in previous birth? I'm sure everybody got kids before, past births. We don't say they are mine or something, don't they?
We don't... I think most of the time we don't think that we had a past birth at all, or we have a next birth at all, because we take this birth for granted as a permanent thing. We prefer not to think about our previous past or the next life, otherwise we wouldn't be doing all these things that we are doing.
Right. Yeah, so you are not thinking about the past births.
Like, usually I didn't think before.
Yeah, so... For let's say a person who is actually thinking about the past births and who believes in past births and sort of thing. Oh, that person, this birth that they are talking about, my son, my daughter, you know, blah, 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 you know, you go into that one. And this craving and all those things, and his mind is also occurring. But, and this is normally happening in the meditation time, if you think that I am dying, you know, if you put that thought, that shoe, that I am dying at this moment. And for a person who has not meditated before about this death, contemplated about the death before, most probably it's coming to him, oh, what about my son? What about my daughter at that time? Right. That's the feeling that is coming now. But for that person, I'm telling you, you must have had sons and daughters before in previous births. Many, many thousands of them. Beautiful ones and better ones than this one. Do you sort of worry about them? You don't. Why? Because there's no contact. See, this is coming from the contact. Because you can't see them, you do not know them, you can't remember them, there's no contact. Why this person is mine, is there's contact.
So our previous lives, we can't remember them because there's no contact. If we had the contact...
You can't remember, yes. Well, yeah, you can, if you go into your inner, you know, level of higher concentration. I can see my sons and daughters in the previous births. So,
you see them with your sixth sense base?
Yes, yes.
Your mind?
You can, yeah. Yeah. If you don't have that one at this time, you call this son is mine because there is this contact. If he pass away, there's no contact, but you remember from the mind whatever thing it is. So you can see the contact is very important. Because of the contact, Buddha said that is the ignorant contact. Because of the contact that is based on ignorance, that is not knowing the arising phenomena, passing away phenomena, and the danger, and the satisfaction and escape regarding that contact. That is the ignorant contact. Because of the ignorant contact, there is feeling arises. That is mine. See what you are making? You are making that person as mine. What actually happened at that time? There was this I and there was this form. Depending on the I and the form, my consciousness arises. Nothing else. If you speak, then the sound. Right? So at that time, I make I is mine. See, I'm making that this statement over here. One would regard I as self. So that's how it is occurring. Otherwise, that if someone says that I is self, oh, I'm not taking I is self. Oh, I'm not taking the form itself. We do. We have been doing this one for a long time. This bad Dhamma Anupassana, you know, bad, you know, going through the doctrine when Buddha is not there, there was this wrong eightfold path, the wrong view, wrong thought, wrong speech sort of thing. Having gone that one for a long, long time, then we regard that those things we have been formed, that I is self, ye is self. We have leapt into that belief. So the Buddha is saying that since the arising and decaying of the I can be seen, you know, that when we go home over here out of this gate, we might meet with an accident and we might lose that I. If I lose that I, then if I say I is self, that one is gone. And my whole world of the I is gone as well. Right? For that person, that the sun is actually not existing in that sense, because that he can't actually see. He has to touch, right? And with the touch you do not probably know properly. See how, think about in the meditation time, if you are blind, just for a moment in the meditation, you think that I am blind. Right? I will become blind. And I will see how the blind person live. And you see, your world is not one-sixth, it's a quarter, a lot of thing is gone with that one. So, since the eye is there is decaying and arising, self arises in me and passes away. Therefore, if anyone should say I is self, that is not fitting. Buddha says that is not fitting. In this way, I is not self. So similarly, Buddha goes into the other example. So if anyone should say material shape, so that the form that I see is self, or people say that one as well, they haven't seen a picture. Mostly Europeans say this, pleasure is mine, they express. You know, why? What do they see? Some sort of a form. And with that one, they are born with this feeling. And similarly feeling. And then the craving that arises, depending on the feeling. So Buddha said that for the arising of craving is to be seen. And it's decaying. It does happen, isn't it? Certain things, you eat some food, you have craving. Let's say next meal you get the same thing, the next meal you get the same thing. What would happen? The same food, the delightful food that you wanted to have, nothing else. You get that one all the time for a month. Do you think that craving will last? No. It is craving is constructed. And we are actually constructing, it is comparing it to something I have now, I had before, or and so over the time, you can't actually hold it like that. When there is a change, you see some tasty food, and then you will eat some distasteful food, and then you remember the tasteful food, and next time you won't have the tasteful food. But if you have the tasteful food, the same food again and again and again, you even get angry. So you can see the craving is constructed, and it is decaying, can be seen. If there is no decaying in craving, no one can attain Nibbana. Because there is a decaying in craving, one can attain Nibbana. So Buddha went in all the things, the sound, and then the ear, and then the contact, and then the feeling, and the craving, and then the mind, and mind and the mental object, and then the mental consciousness, and contact, and the feeling, and the craving that arising depending on the mind. But this monks is the cause leading to the arising of own body. In Pali it is called Sakkaya Samudegami Patipada. Whatever thing we were talking about, that one would say I is self, ear is self, nose is self, the form is self, regarding that one, that's the main word over here. It's called Sakkaya Samudegami Patipada. That is the cause leading to the arising of own body. When we say own body, what do you mean by own body? Own body is matter, feeling, perception, volitional formations, and consciousness. That's the own body. Own body, own body. If you read Chula Vedala Sutta, and Visakha was asking from Dhammadinna Thera, what is this own body, own body? Sakkaya, Sakkaya. What is Sakkaya?
So this is five aggregates.
Five aggregates, yeah. So this, the whole thing we were talking about over here also, five aggregates. So, five aggregates of clinging. So, one says with regard to I, material shape, visual consciousness, that all those things. This is mine, this I am this. This is myself. So, that is the own body. So, try to understand, this is how the Sakkaya or the own body arises. This didn't come anywhere from anywhere else. No one constructed it. We made it ourselves by this process, having seen a form with the eye, and there was this contact. With the contact, the feeling arises. It is also constructed. And for that feeling, there is a craving. Because of this craving, this process, that the own body arises. And it is, we have made it to a distinct, sort of particular, special form as well. You see, do you know about hoppers? Hoppers, you don't know hoppers. Let's say some sort of kind of food, right? A toffee or something. So, let's say someone want to eat toffee. I like toffee. If you like toffee, so you have the craving for toffee. So, now you are actually collecting whatever thing it is regarding the toffee, a feeling, you know, that whatever. You need to remember whatever the food that you like to eat at this moment, not of toffee. So, now it looks like that you are collecting something and putting into some sort of a drawer, a 10 cents coin or something. I like toffee, you know, I got something and I collected. When I see a flower, I like it, I put it to that one. Okay. So, at by the time of death also, whatever thing you collected, are they in that drawer? But this is a special type of drawer. It has got, it's made of these five aggregates of clinging itself. So, it can become vast and small and sort of thing. So, you can see, I collected these things, or coins, or whatever thing it is, for some purpose. So, by the time of death also, that purpose remains. If I put a coin, 10 cents coin to the drawer because that I like that toffee, so what do you want after the death? You want something to do with the toffee, right? I want to have a bird that can consume that toffee. I want to have a human bird. That may be the biggest one I am wishing for at that time. But because of the craving, you may not get it. So you'll be born as an ant or something associated with that trophy. This happened to a monk who was actually fond of robes. Well, he got some robes. He was so fond of robes by that time, he attached to that robes. He died and was born as a small creature that lived on those clothes. It is that bad. But you can see, now it can actually associate with the cloth, right? Similarly, if we like the toffee and our birth is sort of shaped to consume that one, and so it's our destiny. But if you don't like toffees and material things, you'll be born in Brahma world. Because I have nothing to do with those forms. So you can see that the distinction is there.
And if we attach to our mind, we're attached to thinking about things, we can say, oh, coffee is nothing to me. I can't remember if I ate lunch or not, but I love to play with my mind. So you won't get Nibbana that way either.
You don't get the Nibbana, but you might be born in some sort of a world that mind plays a big part, but not the material things.
But it's still that how long you can stay in that state.
That's a different issue. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Whether you can maintain it or not. Yeah. But you may really like coffee or something. You know, later on, I don't like coffee, but I like tea or something. You know, that there is this distinction.
That's why the meditation is important, isn't it? Because then if we can develop certain stages in there.
Mm.
If we cannot attain Nibbana, that's the best thing to do.
Best thing to do. So by developing those higher, good states, one would actually compare, well, what is this sense pleasures? This and nothing for me. I know about this, you know, the spiritual rapture that is so vast, so nice. I would actually go for that state. So you'll be born in a higher world.
I heard that there was this Christian person in Sri Lanka who apparently gets a lot of energy from meditating. So if that person is going up to the level of jhana, because he doesn't know Buddhism, so he could still be attached to these worldly things.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
So if once a person like that dies, would he still go to this existence that we are talking about, this pure abode, or would he come back to a normal world?
It's hard to say whether he has got the right view or not.
Yes.
Yeah, if he hasn't got right view, he won't even go there.
So therefore, meditating, you wouldn't actually get to there. You'd have to have the right view as well, isn't it?
Yes, because Buddha said there's a wrong meditation,
mm-hmm.
wrong view, wrong thought, and the wrong concentration as well. If it is a concentration, it's wrong, and then you lead to the wrong destinations.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it depends on what purpose, what is he using that the energy for, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? Is he using that energy for
good
something
person.
Good or something
mm-hmm.
bad?
Yeah. So this is the arising, you know, the cause leading to the arising of the body. Now then Buddha explained, and this monk is the cause leading to the stopping of the own body. One says with regard to I, material shape, and visual consciousness, that all those things, and this is not mine, this am I not, this is not myself. Ne tam mama ne so hamasmi, na mesu attati. So, man's visual consciousness arises because of the eye and material shape. The meeting of the three is sensory impingement. An experience arises conditioned by sensory impingement that is pleasant or painful or neither painful nor pleasant. He being impinged on by a pleasant feeling, delights, rejoices and persists in clinging to it. A tendency to attachment is latent in him. This word over here, Pali words are really nice, that having chakkuncha bhikkave paticca rupecha uppajjati chakku vijnana tinnan sangati passo. Meeting of the three is contact. Passapaccaya uppajjati vedetam sukamva dukamva adukkama sukamva. So sukaya vedanaya putto samano abhi nandati abhi vadati ajosaya pittati. You can remember these words. One seek delight, welcomes it, remain holding to it. These English translations don't go that way really nicely. So, he being impinged by a pleasant feeling, delights, rejoices and persists. That is the abhinandati, abhivadati, ajosayatitta. The tendency to attachment is latent in him. So, the tendency to attachment is, this is we are talking about, anuse, raga anuse. This, to explain actually, there's quite a lot of dhamma that I have to go through. Anusaya is I will just touch upon that one. You see that regarding the physical nutrient, you know, take a food for example, we all are food, okay, but let's take a normal food that you are eating. So regarding the physical nutrient, there is something called the perversion that there is fair in the foul. That is asubhe subha trifallaso. That fair in the foul, I mean that the food is disgusting. If you leave that one for 7 days on your table, you can see how smelly and all those things. If you think what happened to you when you eat that food, you know, inside the stomach, the vomiting things, and the things that come in out, then you really know the nature of the food. But how do we regard this? You are regarding this as something not foul. You are actually taking that it's a fair thing. That's how we take. So this is a wrong perception that we have. So this leads to clinging to sensual desire called kama upadana in Pali. That I am holding to that particular rung, like that durian thing, I am holding to. Because of that, the bond of sensual desire arises. It's called kama yoga, the bond. There is a bondage with that one. And because of that bondage, actually we are in this earth, the sensual sphere. Why we are here? Because of those things, the yoga. So we are actually being attached in this way. We are now sent to go and do this world, do that world, do this thing. You know, we are bound to this world. With it. We didn't want to work, but we wanted to have a desire for eating hoppers or things like that. So now this bond of sensual desire lead to the body tie of covetousness. This is abhijja kaya grantha. It's like now you are tightly bound with this one. And that leads to something called the taint of sensual desire. Called kama ashrava. So this ashrava is because that, you know, that the tie that I had, the knot that I had about that, having seen some sort of a food, I like it, I want to eat it, and I have eaten it, and I have the tightly binding to it, and I have not got rid of that one. Since I'm not getting rid of that one, there's a knot between me and that food, right? So since you are not removing the knot, it's called anuseya, that tendency. I have not got rid of that tendency. Therefore, it's become astral, the taint. So that is what Buddha is talking about over here. So there are 5 steps in that wording over here. That I like that particular food. So there is this tendency, tendency to attachment. It's latent because it's pleasurable. I'm happy. Whatever the food that is fair, I'm happy with that one, and that leads to pleasure. So I get another perversion, you know, the other way around. I'm actually thinking that this is actually suffering, but I'm thinking as pleasure. So if it is pleasurable, and it is fair and pleasurable, then it is mine, isn't it? If it is fair and pleasurable, I would regard as it is mine. So there is this anatyatta, that is perception, that it is mine, a self. So what did I regard as self? I regarded that perception that I have about that food, and then the feeling. I regard that one as a permanent one. When you think about that person that who is coming in front of you and who is beautiful and going passing away, but that person is gone, but your constructions are continuing.
So the perception is the contact?
Perception because of the contact. And it is actually perceiving the feeling that has arisen. Not only that person's characteristics, but also the feeling that has arisen, that it is pleasure, is perceived. And those taints I am talking about, that having done it before, that taints are now coming as well. This perception and the taint, the astral, is generating what is called volition, chetana in Pali. So because of this chetana, volition, you are now regarding this thing as mine. This is mine. The pleasure is mine. Some people express that pleasure as mine. Pleasure is mine. I have taken that on as mine.
But it's not only the pleasure, isn't it? Sometimes anger is happening.
Anger because of the other way around. Because that regarding the displeasure object. I'm talking about the pleasure object over here. Displeasure object means that why it is displeasure? Because I know there is something pleasure, opposite of that one, that I am clinging. I'm
but what you keep is the bad side, isn't it?
When you get the bad side, what you actually want is that the pleasurable one. So you are clinging to that one, therefore you are actually going through the bad thing. But now you are seeking delighting pleasure to overcome that the anger, bad one, bad feeling that you got. So again you are going back to the pleasure. So now thus I have taken this feeling as mine, the perception as mine. And that actually led to this arising of the body, matter, feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness. Now these things are mine. So if it is mine, it cannot be actually sort of impermanent. Could it be? If it is impermanent, I am not taking as mine.
So I'm angry if I lose what is mine. This pleasure is mine. Someone takes it.
That's right. Yes. You are holding either way. Whether the pleasure or displeasure or neutral, always you are holding. You are holding to something. In the case of displeasure object, you are holding to the pleasure that would have arisen or have arisen before that I want. But what I am getting is something different. So I have dissatisfaction. So I have the anger. But my mind is going back to the pressure. So there is tendency to attachment. And being impinged by a painful feeling, he grieves, mourns, laments, beats his breast and falls into disillusion. A tendency to repugnance is latent in him. Anger is there. And why he is getting angry? It is important to talk about that on answer. Why is he getting angry? Because I have perceived, let's say I got some person in front of me. I don't like him. Let's say a person got a teacher. A good teacher. I used to have a good teacher who teaches me, look after me very well, kind. And that teacher was transferred to some other school and another teacher comes in. This teacher is rough, not kind, not helping me. So why would I compare? I compare to my previous teacher. I like my previous teacher. They express it as well. So what happened over here is whatever thing was here, used to be here, was changed. It is called Thita Anyatatta Sankata Lakkana. That is alteration of that which stands. Alteration of that which stands, or the previous teacher was the one standing. Alteration of that happened. So I, not understanding this phenomena of alteration, now I actually feel my first this bad teacher, bad feeling sort of thing. But what I am holding is the good teacher in my mind. So that's why I am going back to that one. Always we think that our families are together, children are learning, everything is good, I got the job, I got money, I have things to eat, food on the plate. So I think the life is beautiful and good. I hold the future at that time. When that teacher was there, I hold the future with that teacher. When the teacher was removed, then my whole world is shattered. That's why I am angry. So that's happening over there, and then there is this anger coming up, so the tendency to anger. It's also constructive. Buddha doesn't get angry, Buddha doesn't get, clinging to anything either. And now the Buddha is going to the next one. Being impinged by a feeling that is neither painful nor pleasant. He does not comprehend the origin, nor the going down, nor the satisfaction, nor the peril of that feeling, nor the escape from it as it really is. Tendency to ignorance is latent in him. So this one in Pali, tassa patikana syonasi adukkama sukaya vedanaya. Adukkama sukaya is this not pleasurable, neither pleasurable nor unpleasurable. Vedanaya putto savano tassa vedanaya samudayancha attangamancha asadanta adinamancha nissaranancha yata bhutan napajanati. He does not know the arising phenomena, passing away phenomena, the satisfaction. There is a satisfaction in these things as satisfaction and the danger and the escape out of it. That is what he does not know at that time, having seen this one. So let's say I got a chair, neither comfortable nor uncomfortable. When I'm sitting on it, so I got some sort of a neither pleasurable nor non-pleasurable feeling on it. What I do not know, I do not know this chair is going to break in, impermanent nature, I do not know. The rising phenomena, passing away phenomena, and tsunami can come up and then the chair can go with me or whatever thing, I do not know. So most of the time we stay in this particular feeling, the neither pleasurable nor non-pleasurable feeling. And we think that this is fine without knowing the impermanent nature. So regarding this one, so ignorance is that, not knowing those five, is latent in him. That he monks not getting rid of the tendency to attachment to a pleasurable feeling, pleasant feeling, not driving out tendency to repugnance for the painful feeling, not rooting out the tendency to ignorance concerning a feeling that is neither painful nor pleasing, not getting rid of ignorance, not making knowledge arise, should here and now be any make of anguish, this situation does not exist. That is the answer that you are asking about that person. You know, he is going to the pleasure and sort of thing. Without knowing these things, Buddha says this, it does not happen, that he is making an end of the suffering. Monk, auditory consciousness arises because of the ear and sound. Similarly, mental consciousness arises because of mind and mental states. The meeting of the three is sensory impingement. And experience arises, well, as before that we discussed, not getting rid of the ignorance, not making knowledge arise, should here and now be an inmake of anguish, this situation does not exist. And then Buddha said, monks, visual consciousness arises because of the eye and material shape, and auditory consciousness. Bodily consciousness arises because of the body and touches. Mental consciousness arises because of mind and mental state. The meeting of the three is sensory impingement. And experience arises conditioned by sensory impingement, that is pleasant or painful, neither pleasant nor painful. He being impinged on by pleasant feeling does not delight, that's the wording, rejoice or persist in cleaving to it. That nabhinandati, nabhivadati, najosayatittati, does not seek delight, does not welcome it, does not remain whole into it. If he is not doing that one, then there's tendency to attachment is not latent in him. For example, if there's a TV, and when we want to see, when we are, you know, sort of feel dull, go and switch on the TV. So there's a picture coming up. If I'm not happy about the picture, I change the channel until I get the pleasurable one, right? So when there is pleasure, then I sit down in front of it. And when the picture is so beautiful, we call our children, no, oh, mother, oh, father, come and see, this is so beautiful, right? Says abhivadati, that is, we welcome that thought. And we remain holding to it. Next week, 7:30 or whatever time, go and switch it on. So that's how the origin that they rise into now. Now over here, if I do not switch on the TV, I mean, this is one example, if I do not switch on the TV, if I'm not even expressing that it is good, and if I not remain holding to it, so that pressure does not arise, depending on that one. So I got rid of something that would have arisen otherwise. So that Buddha says that this is the wording that nabhinandati nabhivadati najosayatittati, does not delight, rejoice or persist into it. Tendency to attachment is not latent in him. But if you hold a little bit, you know, I'm not watching now, but I may be in 10 years time or something, then there is this tendency. But if I have given that one completely out of my mind, driving out of it, then it won't be there. Similarly, being impinged on by a painful feeling, he does not grieve, mourn, lament, beat the breast, or fall into disillusion. The tendency to repugnance is not latent in him. Being impinged on by a feeling that is neither painful nor pleasant, he comprehends the origin and the going down, the satisfaction, the peril of that feeling, and the escape as it really is. The tendency to ignorance is not latent in him. So that is the meditation part. You know, the contemplating the arising phenomena, the passing away phenomena, and that lead to buddhyabhijnana, the knowledge, and that lead to the understanding the impermanent things. If someone gets that one, then this ignorance does not arise. So that is the cutting point. So that will destroy the view. When you destroy that view, remember we were talking about three perversions. There is a perception, there is a thought, and there is a view. So the view gets destroyed. Since the view gets destroyed, that the tolerance of this suffering thing as pleasurable is gone. Now you see, this is suffering. So if it is suffering, it is not befitting to regard that as mine. That's what Buddha said. If it is suffering, if something is impermanent, Buddha is asking, is form impermanent or not? So monk says, impermanent. If it is impermanent, then it is suffering or not. It is suffering. If it is impermanent and suffering and subject to change, Buddha is asking, is it befitting to regard as mine? It is not befitting to regard as mine. So if having contemplated the arising phenomena, passing away phenomena, having known the impermanence nature, that person knows that this is suffering, so he is not actually taking these things as mine, that the view is broken. But there is still tendency, you know, along the way, and until one becomes an arahant. But the other way round is broken. The other way round leading back to me. That he monks, by getting rid of any tendency to attachment to a pleasant feeling, by driving out any tendency to repugnance for a painful feeling, by rooting out any tendency to ignorance concerning a feeling that is neither painful nor pleasant, by getting rid of ignorance, by making knowledge arise, tathabhutjnana, should here and now be any make of anguish, this situation exists. By understanding this. Seeing this, thus monks, the instructor, disciple of the Arya, turns away from mind, turns away from material shape, turns away from pure consciousness, turns away from impact on the eye, turns away from feeling, turns away from craving, he turns away from ear. So, all those six senses, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and then the external ones, and the contact that arises, and then the feeling that arises depending on things, and the craving that arises depending on these things, he turns away. Nibbidhati. The Pali word is nibbidhati. Turning away, he is dispassionate. By dispassion, he is freed. Nibbidhati virajyati. Viraga vimuchyati. By dispassion, he is freed. He is freed. He is the knowledge that he is freed. And he comprehends, destroyed his birth, brought to a close to the Brahma Vihara. Done is what was to be done. There is no more being such or so. Thus spoke the Lord. Delighted, these monks rejoiced in what the Lord had said. And while this exhortation was being given, the mind of many as 60 monks were freed from the cankers without grasping. You see that we went through that one in a short form, isn't it? We are a bit lazy. Buddha going from eye to the ear to the nose and the tongue and the body and the mind. Buddha repeated each statement. We only analyzed eye. So the difference is Buddha is going through the whole thing again and again. And with a great understanding, greater knowledge and greater ability to explain. So, yeah. So that was good enough for those 60 to become an arahant. And you can see that the faith on those monks are so great. Because in front of you is the Buddha, who is enlightened. It's not a little thing. If you see such a person in front of you, and it's a big difference. I'm telling that I can see arahants, I can talk to arahants. When you talk to them, the impact is very, very heavy. Because that you really understand that they are arahants, they live the arahant way and sort of thing, and their wordings and things, perfect.
And you have the trust after that, and so it's...
You have the trust when you are going there. We have the trust when you see them. We have the trust how having spoken. You completely absorb into that wording, nothing else. That's what's happening over here as well. When Buddha is telling that the complete trust, the complete faith, this faith is a really big thing. It's like a gem, you know, this making the things clear. And so there's no doubt about anything. And with the faith. And
I think that faith comes to you when you understand. If you understand a tiny bit, that faith comes, and I think then what after that what happens is you try to understand other things, but you don't doubt about that?
Yes, yes, yes. But there is still doubt for us, because that you doubt whether this is true or not, certain things. Having heard whether Buddha said it, or is this corrupted version that I actually see? But when the Buddha is there, there's no such chance to think. Because that somebody has written a book, you have read it, there is some sort of a corrupted view in you, and then you see Sutta Pitaka, and you may not actually thoroughly attending to that particular sentence, because you had some sort of a preoccupied perception about it. You have an idea that I know this one. What you know is the wrong thing that you know, but you skip it, not paying attention to that particular word. That's why you need to read very carefully when you are reading Dhamma discourses. Thing that I do not know, I have not heard before. Look fresh. And then you see, oh, that was a different thing. Even the meditation, Eightfold Path meditation, if you are contemplating about the suffering, think fresh every day. This is the thing I have not understood, so there is something that I do not know here. Each part, analyze it thoroughly, thinking that I do not know this. So that's a completely different perception. If as soon as I think that it is something I know, I heard, I know, sort of thing, and then I will just go through like, you know, sliding through that one, not absorbing into the mind. Even this contact, you can see, when I read it for the first time a long time ago, it didn't make any impact. Now I can actually explain that, you know, remember I took the contact back to that those examples. It's a very big thing, this contact. It's making a havoc in our life. And Buddha actually compared that one to a cow, the, you know, sort of skin taken out. So that cow go anywhere nearby a wall, so those creatures, the wall, nibble at her. If she goes under the water, then the fish nibble at her. So that eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and the mind are open over here. Like a skin taken out, the cow, you can't avoid the contact. What is seen is seen. You can actually sort of guard your senses, like looking down and sort of walk to avoid it. Otherwise, you see, you see.
So our craving is craving for contact. Every craving.
Craving
comes down
depending
to that.
On the contact, the feeling arises, and for that feeling there is a craving.
So we want more contact to get more feeling.
Yes, we are going back to the same thing. If it is beautiful, I want to go back to that one again and again. It's like a repeating loop. That's how the my making occurs. Mamankara in Pali, my making. Whenever pleasurable, it's going back to the contact. Think about it. Then take an example. Why, when you are walking, when you see a beautiful person, right? Now, be mindful. Just remember that I want to be mindful after that event, right? And then be mindful after that event. If you are mindful before the event, you will get what I am talking about. Because you now think that person is impermanent, subject to suffering, that you have the wise attention. So that is different. Let's put your mind, let's say I am not going to be mindful, I am just going there, I saw a beautiful person, and Lalit said, after the beautiful person, having seen that one, now I am going to be mindful. Now mindful and see where your mind is. Is it with that person? Or is the mind with you?
Your mind is with Dhamma at that time, isn't it?
No. At that particular time, you know, that not that time. You become mindful and you actually see that what happened over there. And
but it can be latent in you, isn't it?
It is latent.
It come up at a time that you even don't think about that.
Yes. But sometimes you take home. You take home without you knowing. This is so difficult. You see, I didn't have the ability before. Now I know. This is something called Vijnana Sthiti Jnana, where you can actually see where your consciousness were before and where it is now. So if you can see that one, it is explained in this 8-10 things over here. We went through up to 5 of them, you know, we talk about the taint of existence, the taint of sensual desire, kamasa, and then the flood of sensual desire that lead to the barb of lust. You are actually holding to that form. So that form as turning point for consciousness passing on. So the mind, this, having seen, now you don't sort of get this one if I don't go it again. Having seen a sort of a food that you have eaten before, you like it, so there is this attachment to that food, right? So karma, the tendency is there. Having got that tendency, sorry, the word is this, the clinging to sensual desire. And then you got the bond of sensual desire, you are binding to that one. And there is this body type of covetousness, I want it, you know, I like it, I want it today and tomorrow and future and sort of thing. And then there is taint of sensual desire, that it is called kama asava. And then the flood of sensual desire, the ogre, is like a flood. It's like that, you know, that those things are now actually coming like a flood. Now imagine you yourself in a house where the sea is coming up or the flood is coming up. What will happen? It will lift you up with that one. It's called raga salla. You can't do anything now. It's out of control. When it is out of control, that this situation occurs because of that food. That particular food that you have seen. That food may be a person, okay? Now let's consider that as a food itself over here. Now that you have, probably you have seen some diabetic persons, they want to eat this sweet thing. They know that it's bad. They can't control. When that one coming up, they want to eat somehow. They grab it and go somewhere else and eat. Have you seen that?
Oh, I have a friend who's diabetic talks about, he goes past the donut shop and the donuts reach out and grab him and hit him and pull him inside. So he feels that strongly.
That's right.
I know a person who has the tablet before he falls in.
So what is now mind? Our mind is holding. That food is a form, right? It's a material thing. So mind is actually holding to that form. So it is explained as form as steadying point for consciousness passing on. Mind holding to that one now. And because of that, one is going bad way through the will, you know, this path. He is now trying to kill anybody sort of thing, lead to that level. Once he has taken these things, this land is mine and this house is mine, if somebody is coming, I have to kill that person and hold it as mine. So this, your mind is holding to that form. That's the important thing over here. That is called vijnana sthiti in Pali.
Just the form, or is it just the accumulation of the senses that you have with that experience?
Okay, you are holding to that one as well, but in this particular path, whatever thing that led to those things are the one, is the one that you are holding as the root.
Uh-huh.
All the other things, I am happy, right? So next moment, probably when you don't actually eat it or sort of thing, when you see it, well, then those feeling comes in. Then you are holding to the feeling. And again, in the third path, where the volition is playing up, then you are actually holding to holding that one as self as well. And you are holding to a will. So it's going in number of different directions. So what you are asking is really good question. Is you are holding to the form. Because you are holding the form and the other things like feeling, perception, we are holding to all those things. So at that particular time of the food, it was the food. Because the food made it happier. And given that person, the beautiful person in front of you, it is that form of that person. It's not that person exactly. It is what I actually constructed out of that. So all these constructions are there. And you can see your mind is going back to that contact. That's what I was trying to say, that there is this form. And that particular person was how that I see that person. There was I and the form and that I consciousness meeting of the three is contact. So I'm going back to the contact in the case of a person.
And again, isn't it the same way, the reason that we see that how many examples we gave while we were talking. And these examples were because of that contact, isn't it?
It is.
Otherwise, we wouldn't remember that.
Mm. Yes. The former contacts are there as well. Sometimes our mind is so powerful. Your former habitual tendencies, former karma. Sometimes you get certain feelings. If you think carefully, you can see, I never had this sort of thing in this birth. I never thought in this way. But because of your former habitual tendencies, it just comes in, pops and do whatever thing it has to do.
We crave contact. There's some tricks people do with sensory deprivation. Sometimes they do it to prisoners, that sort of thing. Like they'll lock them in a box where it's absolutely perfectly still and boring. They'll give them enough to eat.
Mm.
And, you know, you leave them for a week and they will be just quite unbalanced by the time they come out, possibly quite mad because they crave the contact. They're not getting it. I don't know if that's like...
Yeah, it's a torture. Torture type.
It is a torture because you must have contact. You really crave it.
Mm.
And, you'll break without it if you're not balanced without it.
Mm. I think we'll stop for today.